Hi, I'm Josh Givens.
And I'm Stan Givens. We have the same last name.
And welcome to this episode of Rescuing Churches, where it's always a great adventure discussing church revitalization and pastoral life. Learn more at 614ministries.org. And Dad,
it's a good website.
It is a good website, if I do say so myself,
yes,
actually.
Yes, you have designed it perfectly.
It is a really good fantastic website.
New video on the website.
There is new video content on the website, so go check that out. You recently wrapped out a sermon series at Northside in 1 Timothy called Strong Church, in which you spent the last...
We started in March. I looked it up. We started in late March, right before COVID
hit.
Wow.
So, like, the last...
March to just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
We've been preaching through the book of 1 Timothy.
I thought it was longer than that. It felt like it was, like 3 years. I thought we were going to be in 1 Timothy until you handed the church over to somebody else.
There's only six chapters, so you can't be there for
I was like, Dad's going to retire, and then the next guy's going to have to pick up halfway through 1 Timothy.
Right.
I thought it was going to be like an apprenticeship
thing. Just since March. It's not that long.
Hello, and welcome to Rescuing Churches with Stan and Josh Givens. This is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, where we exist to renew vision and restore hope at struggling churches across the country. With over 80% of churches in decline and 1,500 pastors a month battling depression, we strive to equip members and encourage ministers to pursue new directions of stability and growth.
We looked at that and walked through everything from women in the church to praying for the lost to the apostasy.
Focus on the gospel.
Yeah, we talked about...
Paul writes a letter to Timothy, who's pastoring the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
You can read about Ephesus.
Yep.
It has a ton of history about Ephesus throughout the Bible, and there's a lot of good stuff written on Ephesus. And then at the... In the book of Revelation, you have the problem that the leaders run into ultimately, because you have the angels speaking to the church at Ephesus saying they've lost their first love. I felt like our church was struggling with some of those concepts and we needed to get back to our first love. And so probably we at least should look at this letter that Paul wrote to head that off. And then Paul warns the elders in the book of Acts, the elders at Ephesus, as he speaks to them tearfully, he warns them about wolves that are going to come in with bad teaching and false doctrine and try to destroy. So there's a lot in the scriptures about the book of about the church at Ephesus. And since I felt our church had a little bit of identity with it, we needed to get ourselves grounded in that. And walking through Timothy as a church is really helpful if you have people that are interested in church life.
Yeah. And one of the things that you touched on right near the end of that series, and this was coming out of 1 Timothy 6, specifically 20 verses 20 through 21, was this whole idea of guarding the gospel. And you talked a lot about how strong churches guard the gospel. And
Paul wants Timothy to guard what's been entrusted to him, which is the whole church,
right?
The leadership, the gospel, and the flock. And we did focus a lot on the gospel, guarding the gospel.
Right. And that, for those of you that don't know, that message is available online at northsidemobile.org. You can actually listen to the whole series there. And
It's not 6 years long. It's just a few months. But
yeah.
The whole series is there.
It's pretty long. I made the graphics and the notes for it.
It's long. But it's the whole book.
It is the whole book.
It's really good study by study.
It was really good. And you can find it there at northsidemobile.org, or you can find the podcast. The entire series is there. So instead of preaching this a second time,
right?
How about we just look at this as apply it to the scope of church revitalization,
sure,
how spreading the gospel works and all of that. We're going to kind of look at that.
Well, it's one of the marks of a healthy church is guarding the gospel. You guard the gospel by giving it away. You can't guard this gospel by hiding it. It's not a secret. It actually has to get out in order to be protected. And in Paul's day, that was horribly critical, because if they could stop the gospel, they're trying to kill everybody that's sharing the gospel. They're trying to take their life and kill them.
It was life and death in that day.
Yeah. And everybody they killed that was preaching the gospel it's shutting down the lights. And they're just trying to turn all the lights out across the whole, you know, known world. And Paul's saying, hey, the more people we can teach this to, the less likely it is they're going to shut them all down. And sure enough, exactly what happened. The gospel spread like wildfire throughout the countryside because guys like Paul, Timothy, Silas, Peter, all the New Testament disciples and young churches taking off, you know, Epaphroditus and all those guys, they're just pushing the gospel to its extremes. And so we have to teach our church that exact same deal. I mean, there's plenty of evidence in our culture that a lot of people would like to shut down Christianity from our current culture here in America. And the church is one of the places that we should keep promoting that. Our children and our children's ministry should love the gospel. They should love the word of God and always want to hear more of it and always want to be telling their friends about it. And then we need to teach our adults how to share the gospel, how to share it in a simple way, how to share it in a clear way. We've talked about the three circles deal that we studied a while back that we can reference some podcasts with that we did. We've talked about how to share an elevator testimony. So all that's very helpful.
Right.
But you should make sure your people know how to share the gospel. If you're going to be a healthy church, your average church pew person has to be able to give the gospel out and share it publicly, not be afraid to do so.
Absolutely. And specifically, we kind of looked at in your sermon three specific things to guard. And those specific things were the flock, which is i.e. the church,
mm-hmm.
the leadership, and the gospel. So kind of lay the groundwork for us here.
Yeah. So as Paul wraps out Ephesians, it's a beautiful summary. I just encourage the pastors, if you want to evaluate your church sometime, you can sit down with your leadership, your elders, your deacons, read the end of end of Timothy and see, are we guarding the gospel as a church? Are we promoting the gospel, guarding the gospel by teaching everybody how to share it? Then are we actually taking our leadership? Paul very carefully talks through leadership all through the book. And even at the end, he wants the leadership to have to be carefully selected men, carefully selected women. They have to be held accountable to their character values, to the scriptural values. When they're off the mark, they have to be men that can be confronted and repent. And then the Bible says we need to give those kind of men double honor. So there's this selection of leaders as well as this protection of leaders. The church as a whole, that'd be the membership, the body as a whole, is supposed to take care of its leaders. Just like the leaders are supposed to take care of the church, church is supposed to take care of the leaders. And so a healthy church protects the gospel. The leadership teaches and preaches and clarifies the gospel, equips its people to share the gospel. But then the leadership is cared for by the flock. The flock is careful about making sure they have the right qualities and values. The leadership itself is accountable to one another. You can look at, you know, ask the leaders to look into my life. I'll look into your life. If you think I'm struggling, let's talk about that. So there's a lot of practicals in that. And then ultimately, we're also supposed to treasure the flock and take care of the flock. That's the people, not the building.
Right.
And all through the scriptures, we're called to do that. The Lord adds to the number of a church, but when he does that, he puts people together on purpose. I reminded our church through this series that it's no accident that you're here with people you may or may not know.
Sure.
But you need to cross-pollinate enough to figure out who they are because we're supposed to take care of one another. First Peter talks about he's building us up as a church with living stones. And you build a building in that day by stacking stones on top of each other, but they don't fit perfectly. They have to be smoothed off. They have to be sanded off.
Right.
And so Peter was reminding us that the church is actually a bunch of rocks, thick-headed people.
Right. Knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads that need to be sanded off and smoothed off. And, you know, God should be doing a work in your life to make you smoother, to make you fit better with the people that are at your church. And that creates a healthy environment in a church. When the church is understanding we all have to fit together, we have to take care of our leaders and our leaders have to take care of us, and all of us have to get the gospel out there, that becomes a healthier looking church.
Absolutely.
A much healthier looking church. I think it's a good summary. I think it's a really good way to evaluate your church.
Yeah. There's a mystery here that you referenced, the mystery in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 13. What is that mystery that's referenced there?
Well, Paul mentions the mystery is that God himself would reveal the gospel to us. It was God's gospel. It's God's truth. It's God's rescue of us. And he didn't have to tell us.
Right.
But he chose to give us this mystery, this incredible mystery. He revealed it through the Holy Spirit. And we now have that revelation. This secret of God is now in us.
Which is something I don't think that we as believers think about enough, because we don't really think about the fact that, you know, just as we're walking around our everyday lives, you know, walking around Walmart shopping, we don't think, I actually have something in me that could save another person's soul.
Exactly.
From hell. You know, I have the secret, as it were, to make the difference between eternal life or eternal death.
That's correct.
For somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't think we realize that reality enough.
Even last night at our Testimonies on the Lawn, best night we've had of that at our little church, the evangelist that shared at the end, he was a miserable atheist as a teenager and a young college man, a miserable atheist, right here in Church Central. He grew up right underneath the shadow of one of the biggest churches in our town, but there's 40 more churches within 10 miles of him.
Sure.
And he went to a school which had he was an athlete at a public school, but they had a fellowship of Christian athletes. He was on a team with a whole bunch of people from that group.
Right.
Nobody ever shared the gospel with him, and he tried to take his life multiple times. And when he finally heard the gospel for the first time, he literally, we should probably get him on the podcast to tell this story, but he literally took the suicide note that he carried around in his pocket for when he finally got the courage to take his life.
Right.
He took that note to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes into the room.
Right.
And when he, an atheist, walked into their Bible study, they were like freaking out. Going, what is he doing here?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He laid that down on their table and said, you know, y'all can have this. I just don't understand why none of y'all ever told me about what you have.
Wow.
Yeah. Very common. That's beautiful, though, because as a church, it should break our heart that there are people underneath our steeple, shadow of our steeple, that never hear the gospel.
Exactly.
You know? Because we do have this mystery. Ephesians 1:9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure that I have in my earthen body is the gospel.
Cracked earthen vessels.
Cracked earthen vessels, yes.
I think sometimes maybe—
Frail.
Yeah, very frail. For some of us might even think we're so cracked that we aren't good enough to minister with this treasure that we have. That was something I was thinking about was, you know, why more of us don't share the gospel as much as we should.
Right.
And it may be because we think we're not good enough at that, and we're so cracked and frail. Oh well, I have accepted Christ, but I'll leave that to the pastors and the leadership of the church and all of that. But that's not at all what the text here says.
Exactly. And as you're saying that, it reminds me, you're reminding me that, you know, Paul says he was the chief of all sinners.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. I mean, he's saying I'm sharing.
Yep.
Chief of all, I'm a broken earthen vessel as well, but I'm sharing.
At that point, we're without excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you could, you know, do you think the millennials just don't feel like they have any responsibility into the spiritual life of a person going to hell? It's like, it's their thing. It's up to them.
I think the millennial generation has become very, very casual about that. I think, and it's a dangerous kind of casual mindset, you know, just a nonchalant attitude about it almost, you know?
Yeah.
So we talked about, we mentioned already the three circles. We mentioned the elevator testimony. Are there any other, you know, Paul's counsel to?
I mean, there's a dozen ways to teach sharing the gospel. Romans Road.
Practical methods.
Teach the bridge, Romans Road. do versus done, right?
Right.
There's a ton of ways to teach the gospel. Find your favorite gospel tract.
Yeah.
And
some very easy
teach
ways.
teach people how to read through the tract, four spiritual laws, whatever it is. It doesn't matter how, because God's going to do the working. God does the calling and the saving. We just have to be the vessel that's willing to try to get out there and make
it. Don't overcomplicate it.
No.
It's very, very simple. So Paul's counsel to Timothy about the church leadership, you know, we mentioned we're going to talk about these three specific things guarding the treasures, the leadership, and the flock. His counsel to Timothy about the church leadership specifically was to guard the ministry through the leadership,
Right.
So how does that work from what we see here in the text?
It just means the congregation, especially the elders take care of elders. The deacons help take care of deacons and elders. The elders take care of the deacons, and everybody watches over each other accountable wise. And you try to keep each other healthy. You make sure everybody's in good Bible studies. Everybody's got their personal walk going. And it's just it's an accountability process, really healthy accountability process. And then, you know, where somebody's off, you just confront them in love.
Right.
And you help them keep growing. We've done it a bunch here.
Sure. So,
been here 20 years. Had
yeah.
Several elders sit out of my office and go, "You're not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
You're off." So,
yeah. When you're in pastoral leadership, really in leadership of any kind, for that number of years, you're going to.
No such thing as a perfect leader.
There's no such thing as a perfect leader, and you will have to confront someone at some point.
That's right. And James 3
multiple
says.
Multiple levels of leadership, whether you're in the business world or the church world or whatever, you will actually have to confront people.
Yeah. James 3 says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. So it's not a question of if, it's
right.
When.
Right. So, yeah. It'll happen. So,
but even Timothy gives a whole series of ways to help that and confront and encourage and restore. You restore them back to ministry.
Sure.
As long as they're repentant and trying, do your best to restore them back to ministry.
Now, still working within the leadership category here for just one second, do you have a process that you sort of think about or flesh out when you go about selecting your leaders? When you have an elder that's left your church, or you've got two or three vacant spots of elders, and you're in search of an elder or a leader, qualified leaders, do you have a process that you recommend or go about?
Again, you just go back to Timothy and look at those
right.
qualifications. Look for men that you think.
The specific qualifications.
You think
from
meet
the
those
text.
Qualifications,
yes.
But people can be very deceiving. So you have
right.
to get to know them in personal life and background and friends and conversations around the table when they're not there. You know, how do people see them? And eventually God highlights those for you.
Healthy church-wise, you mentioned a minute ago, having to confront sometimes in love. So confrontation, but love, making sure it's biblically correct. Any thoughts on that?
Just how you said it's perfect.
Right.
You just said it perfectly. You confront in love.
It has to be done with love.
Confront in love with the goal of keeping the church safe and healthy.
So in addition to the leadership, as pastors and as church members as well, we're also entrusted with guarding the flock. We're all supposed to care for and guard one another. How can you kind of foster a healthy environment where that happens?
Yeah, we'll just wrap out with this, is that we take care of the flock by being clear that our values as a flock are clear. The leadership helps define those, and we hold each other to those. We hold each other accountable to the scriptural principles that we hear taught on a Sunday in a small group. We hold each other accountable. We keep our values clear. We keep and then we actually use small group time, interactive Bible studies, to interconnect with one another. And that protects the flock. It's the sheep taking care of the sheep.
Right.
You know? And it's not just up
to
the pastor.
That's a real mark of a healthy church.
It's not really up to the pastor to do it all. It's
right.
up to the flock. To
Which I think is a very common misconception among a lot of believers, is that it's the pastor's job.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you do as a seasoned pastor.
Yes.
And I think the real beautiful reality is, and it was in your original message on all of this, is that it's not just the pastors and leaders, it's all of us. But the real thing is, why are we all doing this? What's the whole point of it? Well, it's from Acts 20:28, because Jesus purchased the church with his own blood.
Yeah, why does the church need to be treasured?
Why does
the leadership need to be treasured? Why does the gospel need to be treasured because Jesus died on the cross for every one of us. And the gospel is worth everything. And the church is his blood-bought bride, Acts chapter 20.
So why would we not do all of this?
Exactly.
That's the real question.
Yeah. And as we wrap out, I know you're ready to do your little closing, but as we wrap out, I just want to encourage our pastors, just evaluate, am I guarding the gospel, equipping my people for the gospel? Do I have a system in place? Do my deacons and my other leaders, maybe just lay leaders at the church, understand how to take care of me as a leader? Have they looked at the scripture and seen what it means to have honor, double honor? And then, you know, are we guarding one another as a flock? Is the flock able to take care of the flock?
Sure.
And are we practicing those one another's?
Sure.
So just remind you that's a great way to evaluate your church.
It is. And if you need help with any of those kind of evaluations, feel free to reach out to us.
Oh, we'd love to talk to you.
We'd love to help you. So thanks for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. We hope you found all of this content and dialogue helpful, as always. If you'd like to give us any thoughts and feedback about the show, we'd love to hear from you at 601-909-0614. Or you can email us at 614rebuild@gmail.com. Always follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 614rebuild.
Hope to hear from you soon.